it. Amen. Thank you for giving. Thank you for loving the Lord and serving Him the way that you have served Him this year. It's been a prosperous year as far as serving God, and we're just grateful for all of your obedience to the Lord. I want you to turn with me in just a few moments to the book of Jonah. Go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah. We're not going to take too long because the time is getting away, but the Lord has talked to us about the harvest fields and to join the reapers, praise God. And I want to be about my Father's business this year. And I want to win people to Jesus Christ. I don't want to be slothful. I don't want to be an unprofitable servant. I want to use whatever gifts and anointings that He has given me to reach others for the Savior. The hour is extremely late, and I believe Jesus is coming extremely soon. Let's talk about Jonah for just a little bit before we get into this prayer that he prayed in the belly of a fish. I was also surfing last night and looking for things about Haiti and Bobby Burnett's work there, but I also found the fact that they said a dinosaur-sized shark, a great white shark, bigger than anyone can ever remember seeing, actually took a man off the coast of South Africa. And they saw him come up one time with him in his jaws, and they don't even expect to find any body parts from the man. Sometimes great white sharks will bite someone and maybe take an arm or leg off and go their way. But sometimes that's 70% of the time, about 30% of the time, statistically, a great white will not only bite, but will go ahead and consume its prey. Because it doesn't distinguish between a porpoise and a person. It just looks like, you know, food to the shark. It's not a personal thing with the shark. It's not angry at anybody, not mad at anybody. This is his living. He eats flesh and a great white, and it just staggered everyone on that because it showed the beach, an actual video of the beach, and the beach is just, look, the water is blue and the beach is beautiful, and it's such a tranquil place to think of a fish coming and consuming somebody like that, a great white. We usually use the term of Jonah and the whale. I told you not too long ago that there is an instance where a whale actually swallowed a human being. And it was I think it was in the 1700s or 18. I remember I had the date, it may have happened more than once, but they were out in the whaling boat with the harpoons. The whaling ship is there. They go out in the boat to get close to the whale, harpoon it, and then they somehow get it back to the ship, land it, and cut it up for the blubber. It turned after being harpooned, attacked the boat, and a man fell out as it was coming up. He went into the belly of the whale. He went whole into the belly of the whale. And they, as soon as they got the whale onto the boat, they cut it open, and they got the man out. They performed CPR upon the man, and he actually survived because of the quickness that they got him out of the belly of the whale. But he was delirious, as I said, and this brought a smile to all of us because if that had happened to me or you, I don't think you would have been two together, you know, for a little while. Can you say amen? He survived, but he was delirious for 2 days. And I thought, he's a very strong man. I would probably still have every time I went by an aquarium, I'd probably get a twitch. Amen. That would bother me. What happened to Jonah? What happened to Jonah? Was that he spent 3 days and 3 nights. While we're talking about a whale, someone said many times, people have said, do you believe that stuff about a whale swallowing a man? Well, the Bible didn't say that it was a whale. We can assume, since that's the biggest fish and it could accommodate a man in its belly, that he probably used one of those big blue whales like the one that swallowed that man, that it's documented that he lived through it. But God sustained a man in the belly of a fish that he prepared. It said God prepared a fish. Now, this fish had one mission from the time that God prepared it, and that was to swallow a man that was disobedient to him in carrying his gospel to where he wanted it to go. Amen. The gospel in that day, it was a gospel of grace in the sense of the old covenant, that if people would repent of their sin, God did not want. And I love this about God. And I want you to get this, because you're going to read a lot of prophecies from the Old Testament that talk about the judgments of the Lord coming upon people that deserve judgment. But you're going to find a God in the Bible that doesn't enjoy sending judgment. What he really loves to do is to forgive and show mercy. That didn't just change in the New Testament. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you say amen? Not the grace that's under this wonderful new covenant that we have through the blood of Christ, but God is a merciful God. Amen. And that hasn't changed. That's why he sent his son in the new covenant. And God wanted to show mercy. Now the man, however, and don't be too hard on Jonah, because when Jonah was going to go tell them that God wants him to repent, that was the message God gave him to give. Other prophets had preceded him, and they had been killed in all kind of horrible ways. They flatly rejected them, killed them for coming with a message of what they considered condemnation. Amen. And they were hard on them. By the way, prophets today that bring a message of judgment to come, people are not going to love them or even like them. But it is the truth. And it's not because God hates or wants to hurt. It's because God wants to warn. Amen. If we would turn from our wicked way, then the Bible said he would hear from heaven and he would heal our land. Amen. So he wants us to turn, literally. And that's what he wanted out of Nineveh. As wicked as they were, God wanted to show them grace and mercy. But if they didn't repent, he had no alternative but to bring judgment. So there had to be a message to warn them of the impending judgment of God. And Jonah, God put his hand on Jonah and said, "You're the man. I want you to bring that message." And Jonah knew. Here's Jonah's train of thought. Jonah figured, if I take that message, they will kill me. It won't accomplish anything. By the way, all preaching is not to accomplish the building of a huge church. There are ministries that are sent to be a witness. God said, I will do nothing except I reveal it to my prophets. I won't send a judgment that I don't send a prophet first. I will always send someone to give a warning. God will never be accused of not giving man an opportunity to repent. And some ministries, like Ezekiel's, wasn't to change them, but literally to give them the opportunity to repent. So while he was preaching, he thought he was going to see a great revival because huge crowds came to listen to Ezekiel minister. And God spoke to Ezekiel, and this must have let all the air out of him. God spoke to him and said, he said, they won't listen to you. They come to hear you as someone that plays skillfully upon an instrument. You minister under my divine anointing, and they like to hear that kind of prophesying and preaching with such passion. Amen? But they won't listen to me. They don't have a heart to obey. So he suddenly realized my mission is not to see a great revival, but to be a witness that they had an opportunity to repent before the judgments came and fell upon them. But by the way, it's not our job to pronounce the judgments, but to sound the warnings. Can you say amen? Sound the warnings. Amen. To cry out against sin, to cry out against rebellion. And if we cry out, our job is done. I found very early on in our ministry that everyone is not going to come to Christ. Everybody's not going to get saved. Everybody doesn't want Jesus. Everybody doesn't want the truth. I thought when I went into ministry, as long as I was accurate from that book, Christians would embrace it. I was in for a big surprise. I found out that there's things in that book that bother some people really, really bad. And their Savior said it. And I wanted to stop in the middle of the ministry and tell some of these hard cases that I didn't write this book. Can you say amen? This is not my writings. I'm telling you what your God said, the one you say you love. I'm telling you what your Lord has taught. And a lot of people don't want and still reject the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's so fundamental to victory to let Jesus just be the Lord of your life, to take the word of God to heart. Jonah knew, I'm going to go down and preach repentance to these people. They're not going to listen to me. They didn't listen to anybody that went before me. They're going to kill me, and it's not going to accomplish anything. So I'm going to Tarshish. I am not going to go down there and preach and have them kill me and not change anyway. What good is my life being wasted on them? So Jonah said, I go to Tarshish. And of course, when he heads for the wrong place, in blatant, absolute, clear disobedience to God. Now, there's a difference when we're trying to find the will of God and we just can't discover it, and we make some mistakes. You know, we try to go this way and say, you know, that really wasn't the Lord, but I thought it was, but I'm sincerely open to God's will. This was somebody that it was very clear, very clear. God was absolutely clear. What was it? The one man that said, it's not the things in the Bible I don't understand that trouble me. It's the things I do understand. Can you say, man, those are the things. A lot of people are concerned about the things they don't understand. Where did these people come? If Adam was this, and you get back in all of that quagmire, and how about the dinosaur? Where did the walking my dinosaur? Where did that dinosaur come from? Can you say, man? He had to be around sometime. And you try to figure all these things, and you know, this is a brief account. We're talking about thousands of years, and God is giving you a couple of chapters to explain thousands of years, and there's some stuff in there that he figured you didn't need to know. So he didn't tell you. You know, the Bible said the secret things belong to the Lord. They don't belong to us. But he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need to know to be saved, to walk in victory, to go to heaven, he's told us very, very plainly and clearly. I can't answer every question about creation. Well, where did them people come from anyway? And what about the sons of God going into the daughters of men? And where? What about the demons that left? I got some biblical things that I can kind of kick around in those areas, but ultimately some of these things is not that important. Listen, if we're going to join the reapers, you're going to have to quit worrying about some of these other things. If you're going to get involved in a harvest for Jesus, you're going to quit worrying about some of these other things. If you're going to spend your time splitting hairs over other things, you'll never raise your eyes and look on the harvest field. And you go through a whole year of trying to be biblically accurate and not win one soul to Jesus Christ. Hello? And God said he wants us to join the reapers. I want to join the reapers. Praise God. Listen to me carefully. And Jonah decides, I'm going to Tarshish. He gets on a boat. They head out, and a great storm comes upon. And the boat is shaking so bad and taking on water. And they decided, you know, somebody here, God undoubtedly, because there's something about this storm. All sailors knew that storms come at sea. But this is a different storm. This is a storm that came out of nowhere. This was a storm that had something in it that let them know that God himself was angry. Amen. It's somebody on that boat. And God allowed them to discern his will because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. He permitted some things back then that after the Holy Spirit was given is unpermissible. They cast lots. Amen? And it fell upon Jonah. And they said, so it's you. And Jonah knew it was him all along. And he said, yeah, it is me. All of this trouble that has befallen us is because of me and my disobedience to God. But if you throw me overboard, your trouble will cease. Just throw me overboard. And they didn't say, now, brother, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to just intercede for you. No, that boat is taking on water. They did not hesitate. to grab Jonah and throw him out of the boat. If you cause this trouble, we're going to just go ahead and do what you say. And he hit that water. When he hit that water, God prepared the trial that was awaiting him. The trial that was, and the test, and the circumstances of his life. We got a faith message out there. Listen, God prepared this fish to humble a man that had a rebel heart. Amen. This was not just missing God. This was knowing the will of the Lord and knowing it, saying, "I refuse to do it." And he wanted to break down that rebel heart. God prepared a fish. God sometimes prepares a trial specifically to deal with an issue in our life that we're not willing to deal with if the trial had not come. God engineers some of the negative circumstances that touch some of our lives. That's why I teach people to try your best to be obedient, to not just know the will of God and say, "I'm not going to do that. I know I'm supposed to forgive Sister Hoopendicker, no matter how mean she's been to me." This isn't Sister Hoopendicker, by the way. I just said that. She changed her name. Amen. No matter how ugly she's been to me, God tells me to forgive her. Now, I've got a choice. I can justify holding my anger and my angst against her, or I can forgive her because, for Jesus' sake. You know, when you forgive for Jesus, it said even as said you should forgive one another on this basis, even as God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you. You did not merit what His forgiveness. You didn't earn it. You're in and of yourself are not in any way meritorially worthy of His forgiveness. We rebelled, we sinned, we blasphemed, and yet when we cried out, He freely forgave us for Jesus' sake. Can you say amen? Because Jesus bled for us. Jesus died for us. We can't receive it like that in such grace and mercy and then withhold the same grace and mercy from the people who fail us, hurt us. Can you say amen? Freely you've received. What do we have to do? We've got to give it like we got it. We've got to freely give. Listen to me carefully. I can choose to do that, or I can choose to have God in His love for me to engineer, to prepare a circumstance. Everybody say, prepare a circumstance. In Jonah's case, he prepared a fish. He might prepare something else for me. Amen. He might prepare some other trial. He knows how to get my attention. Amen. He knows how to get yours. The idea that everything is the devil and we don't have any problem with God at all is erroneous. It's phony. If God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't mean the devil's not going to come against us, but he's always going to lose if God is for us. Because you would have to conquer God to conquer you. Listen to me. The devil's really aware of that too. He knows that he can't withstand God when God stands up for us. He's found that out. He's not an idiot. Amen. Tried to hire a prophet. He moved on a king to hire a prophet of God to prophesy against God's covenant people. And the guy was so dumb, amen, that he took him up on it for money. People do dumb things to line their pockets with money. This is a prophet of Almighty God, and yet he's going to take money to curse God's people instead of bless God's people. And he stood up and tried to do it, and God wouldn't let the words out of his mouth. Can you say amen? And he told the king, he said, "I tried to curse them, but only blessing would come out." So I'm going to make a statement here real quick. You can't curse what God has blessed. And you can't bless what God has cursed. Deuteronomy 28 gives us some choices to make. And we've only heard one side of the coin. Coin has two sides. Can you say amen? Otherwise, it's a phony coin. It's got a head and a tail. I love the head part. I want heads all the time. Amen. But this is not a flip of the coin. This is a choice. Amen. I put two ways before you. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose blessing. It's a choice that everybody has to make. Can you say amen? Listen to me. I choose blessing. I do not choose the way that's going to bring a curse or bring God's chastisement. I choose obedience. I choose to bow to Jesus Christ. I choose to take His word to heart. I choose to overrule and override my own rebellious flesh. I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. I don't let it rule me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have another ruler. I have another master. Satan is not my master anymore. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Am I sinlessly perfect? No. Am I perfectly committed to obeying Him instead of my flesh? Yes. Do I struggle with it every single day? But God is looking at my heart, and when He sees my will, He helps me to overcome. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't even hardly mention the Lordship of Jesus. But Romans 6:16 says this: whoever you yield your members, including your tongue, your attitude, your heart, your life, servants to obey, His servant you are. Whom you obey, whether God unto righteousness or sin unto death. So in ancient Israel, He put the two ways before you: blessing, cursing, life, death. He says, this should be a no-brainer. You're covenant people. You have a God who has went on record time and time again of fighting for you. Should be a no-brainer. Choose life, that you may live, for why would you die, O house of Israel? I don't want to curse you. I don't want to judge you. I want to bless you, and I want to keep you. I want to prosper you. I want my name to be glorified in the nation of Israel, that you have a God and I have a people. I want to make you peculiar like nobody else on this planet. Hallelujah. Because you serve the living and the true God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So let me do that. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all that I command you this day, these blessings will come upon you and they shall overtake you. Amen? Amen. So when we teach the Lordship of Jesus, obedience to God, we teach those hard messages. I'm known as a hard preacher. You go down that Venables, he preaches straight. You want to go somewhere where they preach crooked? Go down to Venables, he preaches hard. Do you want somebody to soft pedal, amen, blessing and cursing? You don't want it to be a black and white thing anymore? You want somebody to give you some gray to live in? Honey, I want to know where I stand. Amen, I want to know what to expect from God. I want to know what to expect when I fall on my knees and cry out to Him. I want to know, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody show me, and somebody stand up with enough God, enough biblical knowledge, and enough Holy Ghost backbone to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. I don't know what you want, but I want somebody to show me. Let me choose. Give me the opportunity. If I reject the blessing, it's on my head. But please bring me to that crossroad. Whew. Tell me I can't serve two masters. Tell me I'm going to love one and hate the other. Hate one, love the other. Tell me there's no gray. Challenge me. Hallelujah. Challenge me when I go to church. Don't pet me to get an offering. Don't pet me to build a building to your success, preacher. Tell me the truth so I can be set free. Can you say amen? To serve the living and true God. Hallelujah. We serve a wonderful God. He said, I take no pleasure. Make no mistake about it. Don't try to change His character because you get irritated with sinners. Amen. If He moved out of irritation with you, instead of patience and love, you would have never made it to Calvary. He would have destroyed you before you ever came to the cross. Can you say amen? But he was patient and he was loving and he was kind, and he sent the Holy Spirit to convict you. You did not, the Bible said you didn't choose him initially. The first choice you didn't make. You didn't just wake up one day and get a big old heart for God. No, you didn't. He chose you. Can you say amen? The first choice was he chose you. When you chose to respond to him, you became his chosen. But the Bible said we did not choose him initially. He chose us. He came seeking us. Can you say amen? He took the initiative, amen, to save us. Hallelujah. If he hadn't done that, nobody in here would go to heaven. Nobody on this planet could go to heaven. But he chose us. And they that were with him in the book of Revelation were called chosen and faithful. Praise God. You have to respond, amen, to him. But he chooses to come to us. He chooses to forgive us. He chooses to save us if we'll accept Christ as our Savior. We deny him, he will deny us. He has no choice. But if he had a choice, he would save us. Can you say amen? We take the choice away from him. But if we will choose to respond to the one who's chose us, we can become the chosen people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 We're so afraid that we won't have enough funds. We're so afraid we can't build this building that we feel we have to show that we're successful, to tell people the truth about heaven and hell, about eternity, about blessing and cursing. Amen. And we're promising blessings that can be obtained simply by believing instead of bowing before God and with a heart that is humbled before him. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy says, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all that I command you this day, these blessings will come on you and they'll just overtake you. It goes on and it tells of all the blessings. And then it says, if you don't listen to God and you go your own way, these curses shall come upon you and they shall overtake you. One of them says, blessed shall be in the field. And the other said, your field's going to be cursed. Everything. See, Joseph, you couldn't take the blessing away from Joseph. You can sell him into slavery, but everywhere he goes, the blessing follows him. The blessing is there in the jailhouse. He's interpreting visions. The blessing is there at Potiphar's house. He put him over. And every time a cursed thing would come, God would turn it to a blessing. He gets put in jail, and in jail, then it moves him a little further toward God's destiny for it. Nothing the devil put in his way as a stumbling block, God didn't turn into a stepping stone, because these blessings will come. They'll come if you're sold into slavery. They'll come if you're falsely accused of sexual assault. They'll come if you're sitting rotting in a jail cell. They just keep coming and finding you and overtaking you. Amen. Because you choose to obey God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somehow God will bless you. You know what David said? When a man cast dust on him, begin to pick up rocks and throw them at the king, you know what he said? Amen. One of his chief captains said, I will take his head off. I will stop his mouth right now. You know what David said? David said, let that man alone. Let him alone. David knew he had sinned. David knew he had sinned against God. Only God's grace had forgiven him and restored him. Amen. David said, let him alone. Let him alone. It may be that God will requite me good for his cursing this day. In other words, if I don't seek vengeance, if I don't lash out, if I don't receive mercy and refuse to show it to others, it may be that God will turn that curse right there into a blessing in my life. I don't have to have him hush. Amen. Once God speaks the blessing, he can curse me all day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will bless me. Did God bless him? Yes, he did. These be the last words of the adulterer, the murderer. No, these be the last words of the sweet psalmist of Israel. Hallelujah. A man after God's own heart. Wow. So when we teach obedience, we're not trying to make people slaves. We're trying to set you free from the slavery of the flesh, from the slavery of Satan, into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. If you ask Paul, Paul said, I'm a bond slave to Jesus, but I'm a free man. Yes, amen. Yes, the man that came to Jesus during the prison ministry, the one with the cold gray eyes that's that have, you know, if I had to pick anybody in there was the hardest case, I would have picked him before I even knew anything about his sentencing or what kind of crime he may have committed. But I just, the man looked like his eyes were stone cold dead. And I thought, he has no conscience. He has no feelings. And I thought, that's probably the last man that we'll ever reach. But he's one of the ones that said, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. And we have to wait and see about these things. But something he said, and something that changed even in his countenance, really convinced me that he had met the Lord. Because before I left the prison ministry, he came and he walked down, and I had given him a Bible a couple of weeks before. He said, would you please sign my Bible? I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And the eyes had changed. There wasn't that dead look. There was just he was personable. I mean, I could look him in the eye and not say, help me, Jesus. Can you say amen? I mean, honestly, when I went in there, I said, help me, Jesus. Come on. There's a jail ministry that goes in on Sunday. That they have the guards and the people on good behavior come and they hold a Bible study. That was not the one that I had. The assistant warden came to our church, and he got me a card to go in at any time I wanted to and break all of the cells and let anybody come. The hard cases came. And I told you about the blood they had to mop up off the floor. The fights broke out and different things that happened. The devil fighting us. But this man was one of a group that raised his hand to receive Jesus. And here's what really impressed me. Amen. When I signed his Bible, I looked in his eyes and I saw the difference. He said, preacher, I want you to know something. He said, I am going from here. I was here for an arraignment a trial. And I'm going from here to Rayford to spend the rest of my life in prison. In other words, he wasn't saying, I'm going to get jailhouse religion. They're going to see the change in me, and parole board's going to let me out and go back to my life of crime. This wasn't that. He said, I'm not expecting to get out of jail. I do not expect to ever be a free man again in terms of getting out of prison. He said, I'm going to Rayford to spend the rest of my life, but I want you to know something. For the first time in my life, I am a free man. Whom the Son sets free. Can you say amen? Free. Freedom from self. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the boot heel of Satan. Freedom to serve the living and true God. We're not free to serve ourselves. We're set free to serve the Lord. We find our satisfaction, our fulfillment in serving Him. You've got to serve somebody. Bob Dylan had a little brush with Christianity, and he wrote the song, you've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Can you say amen? Everybody here has to serve somebody. You can't just quit serving Satan and still serve self and be a servant of Christ. You got to not only quit the devil, you got to quit self. If any man would be my disciple, would be my servant, my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come and follow me. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, to see that kind of commitment, those kind of followers of Christ. What was the difference in Jesus when it said he not only gave him the Spirit, he gave him the Spirit without measure. There was nothing in Jesus that held back the full expression of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Can you say, in the man part of him that held that back? Nothing inhibited the full expression. We do things to grieve and to quench the Holy Spirit. There was nothing in Jesus to grieve him or quench him. Can you say, man? So being baptized, when Jesus moved in the fullness of that anointing, there was nothing to inhibit. He gave him the Spirit without measure. And it was said of Jesus, amen, my works are not mine. Look at this surrender. But only what I see my Father do. I'm not doing one thing that I don't first check with my Father, that I don't okay with my Father, that I don't bow and acquiesce to my Father's will. Amen. He said, the words that I speak are not my words. Not a word proceeds out of my mouth that I don't first hear my Father say it. And he said, in the volume of the book it is written, I came for a specific purpose to do thy will, O God. And when the flesh and the will of God came into conflict, he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. Can you say amen? And God gave him the Spirit how? Without measure. I know tongue-talking people that can talk in tongues every Sunday, but they can't talk right in their own tongue. They want to run people down and tear people up. Amen. Listen, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, that will, listen, there's a love that does what? That magnifies our faults and tries to be vengeful to others. No, there's a love that covers. It covers a multitude of sins. There's a love that cancels all of that out. There's a love that isn't vengeful or vindictive. There's a love that doesn't want to hit back when you get hit. Can you say amen? It's the kind of love that held Jesus to that tree. It's the kind of love that doesn't grieve nor quench the Holy Spirit. It's the kind of love that lets Him loose and lets Him move through our life. Can you say amen? It's the kind of love that the church needs. We got the power, 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 power. And we got filled with powerful gifts, but we didn't get filled with the love of God. And because we didn't, our tongues become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If I hear someone talking other tongues and I hear them run their brother down trying to cut, trying to kill somebody's reputation and tear them apart, and the next time they talk in tongues, there's something there. There's a block. There's a block. I'm not open anymore because bitter and sweet water don't flow from the same fountain. You can't love God and curse His creation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Bitter and sweet. That means one, the Holy Spirit's coming from our spirit man, but that other stuff's coming from our flesh that is supposed to be conquered. Listen, there's two ways. Everybody has to make choices, blessing and cursing. And we have to choose to obey, and they're based on obedience. These ways are not just a faith act. This is bowing to the genuine lordship of Jesus, becoming authentic followers of Jesus, becoming truly obedient unto Him. Jonah says, I am going to Tarshish. And you can hear Peter said something very similar. He said, I go a fishing. He's called to work for God. He's disqualified himself and said, I go a fishing. I am so glad for Jesus coming and just expanding on the grace of God. Because the boat didn't sink for Peter. I believe if he had continued in rebellion after this call of God was made so clear. I think the difference was Peter really didn't feel worthy. He had disqualified himself, not out of rebellion. He just felt like, after I've denied you, I can't go and preach. So I go a fishing. Jonah, there was one thing he was thinking about, and that was saving his skin. Can you say amen? Amen. Peter fell so in love with Jesus, Jesus was able to tell him that he was going to die a martyr's death. He was not going to live out his days for the sake of the gospel. He said, Peter, do you love me? And he saw the love in Jesus' eyes. His heart melted before him. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep because you love me. Amen. God's always wanted that kind of obedience. He wants it not out of dread or fear of him, but out of love for him. Amen? Amen? Jonah, on the other hand, he had no love for those people. He had no real love for the Lord. He had reverence and respect for him. He had no real love yet for him. And we were going to find out later on that Jonah still didn't care nothing about those people that God wanted to save. But he had to do what God said. He did find that out. And he ended up in the belly of that fish in the bottom of the sea. And 3 days and three nights, he sits down in the belly of this fish that God prepared. Everybody say the trial that God engineered. See, now, if you've got trouble with the devil, you submit yourself to God, you resist him, and what's going to happen? He's going to have to back off. If you've got trouble with God, that's a whole different story. And most people, yeah, it's a whole different, most people want to go to church to learn how to defeat the devil, not how to really get real and get right with God. Amen. And I don't think you can ever truly defeat the devil till you get real and get right with God. Because resisting the devil doesn't start with resisting the devil. It says, submit yourself, therefore, unto the Lord. That's the same as giving no place to the devil. I looked up that word place, and you know what it means? It means terra firma. It means a piece of ground. I got to meet with George, whoever he is out here, that he's going to get a junkyard dog and put in the back of his junkyard, and he's building a fence back here, and he wants to make sure our lines are where they're, and I don't know where they are. We may have to get together and have it surveyed, but he's going to build a great fence and tearing up everything back here and expanding his property to our property line, and I'm going to meet with him, and we're going to talk about the ground that is ours and the ground that is his, and there's legal things that and there's he wants to make sure he don't encroach on our ground, because if he builds a nice fence, he's building a temporary one first. If he builds a nice fence, then we could tell him, you got to move that 6 foot this way, and he'd have to go to all that trouble and expense, because that ground is not his. He doesn't own it. He can't do whatever he wants on it. You see, that's what we want to do, is take that away from the devil. Amen. If I have a part of me that's not yielded to the lordship of Jesus, Satan claims that is ground, place, terra firma, a piece of earth that is not, it's undeeded. Can you say amen? He can claim it. Amen. But if it's deeded to God, if I'm his, praise God, and that ground belongs to Jesus, amen, we don't just say no ground, devil. He recognizes there's a line here. I cannot cross that line into that life, because that life is bowed. Not perfect, no, but it is bowed to Jesus, and because it is, he claims it as his own. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this place. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I love the word flee in the Greek. It means run, as in panic. Jonah's in the belly of this fish, unsubmitted, but he begins to submit. And this is a prayer to be prayed when you are in a circumstance that you begin to sense that maybe you have a part in this. It's not just the old devil. All right. Amen. All right. Maybe we had a part in the trouble that's come. Maybe I didn't forgive and I knew I was supposed to forgive. Maybe the sun did go down on my wrath. Maybe a root of bitterness did spring up in me and I still refuse to deal with it. And maybe, just maybe, God prepared a fish. Maybe he sent the storm. Who sent that storm? Did Satan send it? No, God sent it. We got a God now that he don't send no storms. He only calms the troubled seas. We got a God now that he don't chasten anybody. My Bible said if he loves you, he'll chasten you if you're disobedient. Because he chastens every son that he loves. And if you're without chastisement, you're not his. Doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what the preacher tells you, what trunkload of tapes you have, amen, on how to be blessed. If you can sin out of rebellion without chastisement, you don't belong to him. You need to get saved. Because if you belong to him, he chastens every son that he loves. Why? Because he don't want you lost. He don't want you damned. He don't want you cursed. He wants you blessed. Amen? That's the part of the message the church don't want and desperately needs today. Amen? Well, let's read Jonah 2 and verse 1. Because this is from the stomach of the fish, or from the midst of his trial. I have prayed from the stomach of the fish, and I know how these prayers work. But let's read it from the book of Jonah. By the way, this gratitude for a merciful God is going to be showing up right in here. He's going to thank God in the midst of his trial. Some of us are never going to get out of the midst of our trial until we thank God right where we are. Say, Lord, I just want to thank you for loving me enough to let me keep being bullheaded, headstrong. I'd rather the preacher rock the boat than the devil wreck the boat. How about you? Can you say, man, I want the truth on Sunday. Listen to this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of hell. You heard my voice. You had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. I'm reading from another translation, but I'm just trying to clarify it. You can read. You want to read it from the King James first? Anybody? From the King. You got it in the King James? you want to read it from the King James. Somebody come to the mic. Have you got it in the King James? All right. Praise God. Have you got it right there in Jonah 2? Would you read it? Have you got a mic you can turn on? I just want you to read it. And I'll read behind you or something. Amen. But let's get this prayer done so we could get out of the belly of this fish and get into the blessing Amen. Of the Lord. Amen. How Hallelujah. Many want out of the belly of the fish and into the Hallelujah. Blessing of God?
Hallelujah.
Listen to this prayer. Started at verse 1. Let's take it right down the line.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly.
Yeah.
And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving.
Stop right there just a minute. What he's in the belly of the fish, he's repented, and now what is he doing? He's giving God thanks. He's giving God thanks. You don't give him thanks hallelujah. When everything changes. You give him thanks right where you are. Amen.
Hallelujah.
For his mercy, his grace. Amen. He said, when I prayed this repentant prayer out of the belly of this fish, and by the way, God hemmed him in. He said, there's no way out of here. Your bars were all around me. I'm in a prison That's of right. my own making. Amen. That's but right. there's a key to get out of this thing. Praise God. If I humble myself and cry before the Lord,
amen.
Amen. He is a
Hallelujah.
Merciful God, and he's going to hear my cry. I don't know how we got such a negative spin on repentance. I don't know how we did it. It's a very powerful thing. It's a very positive thing. Amen. If you, amen.
Come on.
Amen. There's nothing wrong.
It's getting right with God.
Let's say it again. There's nothing wrong.
With getting right with
say
God.
Say it again. There's nothing wrong.
With getting right with God.
Everybody looking for a preacher to tell them they can be blessed without getting right with God. I'm telling you, you can't be blessed without getting right with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But there's nothing wrong with
getting right with God.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's the best life that you could possibly live, and it brings his blessing.
Amen.
But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of
thanksgiving.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
That read the next, finish that verse, just that verse.
I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'll pay that I have vowed. Praise God. I promised you, Lord, I would serve you. I promised you, Lord, I would praise you and thank you. Lord, I'm going to pay up right here. Not when you get me out, but right here in the midst of it. I'm going to pay my vows right now. I'm going to challenge you to thank God in the middle of your trouble for loving you enough not to let you alone. You know, this man would have had the blood of all those people on his hands. Amen. If he hadn't went to Nineveh, he would have had the blood of all those people. God would have sent judgment, and he would have had the blood on his hand. Whether they listened or not, he wasn't going to have no blood on his hand. God said, I'd rather have you down here in the dark, hemmed in by this test and this trial. Amen. Getting truly surrendered and right with me than to have to judge you. Amen. For not telling them what you should have told them in my behalf. Amen. This is not an act of vengeance or meanness towards you, Jonah. This is loving you enough. Amen. To keep you from having to stand before me with the blood of all these people on your hands. I love you, Jonah. I don't want you hurt. If you wanted him hurt, he would have sent a great white to chop him in half. That's not what he sent. He prepared a fish to sustain his life till he could pray a prayer of repentance. Thank God for that God. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. Thank you. That'll do, sir. Amen. Matter of us to stay. We're getting ready to worship. Just listen to Jonah's words. From the pit of hell, he cried for help. You cast me into the deep. The current engulfed me. Your waves passed over me. Water compassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. The earth was like a prison around me. Jonah had hit rock bottom, drowning in the belly of a whale. He was in a battle for his life, close to death, filled with despair, shame, and guilt, on the verge of losing consciousness. He was literally low as a person could get. He even thought God had abandoned him by saying, I've been cast from your sight. And yet he cried unto the Lord. And when you feel like you can't carry on, follow Jonah's path. Verse 7 said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And then what did he do? He prayed, and in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Jonah was in a hopeless situation, and everything about him was pitch black and gloom. He was ready to give up, but in the throes of death, he gave thanks to the Lord. In the midst of his troubles, Jonah entered into the Lord's presence by giving thanks. He was already repentant. You know, you don't have to crawl, squall, or bawl. God sees your heart when it starts bowing before him. Can you say, man, I have crawled, squalled, and bawled. But if God hadn't seen it in my heart, it wouldn't have meant anything. Can you say, man? But he saw it, and he saw Jonah's heart. Jonah wasn't a rebel spirit anymore. He was crying unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And the result of his thanksgiving in verse 10, the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad for that kind of a good, gracious God that we serve today. And Jonah went down and preached to Nineveh. And he preached with such passion and conviction that the king proclaimed a fast. And the king took off his royal garments and put on sackcloth. Amen. And then he proclaimed a fast, and he said, not only is no one to touch food, but you don't even feed your animals. Nothing eats until we find mercy and grace. God is serious this time. How was Jonah more convincing than those that had went before him? I believe because Jonah knew this is God. This is God. I'm not telling you what I feel or I think. I'm not coming here with anything less than a message from Almighty God. And if I perish, I perish. But thus saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And the king was troubled and trembled. And the Bible said that God, and this is the God of the Scripture, God repented. Not because he was wrong, but he was said, this can be changed. If these people are going to repent, then I'm going to be able to do what I love to do more than anything else. I will forgive them, and I will show them mercy. You know, the rest of the story, I want you to all be cautioned in here when you read of the judgments coming on any place or anyone. Jonah went out. He was sitting watching for the judgment to fall. He didn't believe God would forgive them. He thought God was going to judge them in spite of everything they did. Amen. And he was sitting there going to take sick pleasure in watching it happen. And he sit out there watching for it to come. Amen. And God, in his mercy for Jonah, amen, had a gourd vine grow up and with huge leaves that shattered him from the sun. Amen. And when he got angry because God, I told him judgment was coming and it didn't happen. He got so mad because he didn't see God get them. Amen. And then the mercy that caused that to overshadow him began to wilt away again. See, it's so easy, even if you've been through that test, to forget where God took you from, how he took you through, and stand up on some pedestal, amen, and look down and speak condescending or judgmentally. I don't mean to judge right from wrong. I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand up and tell people what is wrong. But friend of mine, it's up to God. But I will tell you this, he's going to give you a choice. Amen. And he wants you to choose blessing. He wants you to choose blessing. He loves you. And he loves to forgive. I was asked at work as I closed, what is the seven deadly sins? Because somebody come up with gluttony and pride and adultery and murder, and there's seven deadly sins. And actually, that's not a biblical concept at all. All sin is deadly. The scripture said, he that offends in one point, just one, you don't have to break the rest of them. Ten commandments are like a chain, a 10-link chain. And Sean, if your truck broke down and I had to get my old truck out to pull you out, this is a Chevy, he'd let me pull him. If it was a Ford, he'd say, I'd rather push a Chevy than be pulled by a Ford. And I brought a chain that had 10 links. It wouldn't matter which link broke to separate us. Wouldn't matter if it's 1 or 8 or 7 or 6. When one link breaks, we're separated. So Jesus said, you don't have to break all the commandments. You don't have to break more than this. He that offends in one point is guilty of the whole law. All of it. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. Yeah, but have you ever loved anything or anyone more than God? Yeah, we all have at some point. Thou shalt what? Love the Lord with how much of your heart? What's left over after you serve yourself or serve your sin? No, all of it. Have we broke it? Yes, we have. He that offends in one point, that means I can't, because I never committed adultery or I never killed anybody, I can't stand in some kind of self-righteous place because I'm guilty of the whole law too. He that offends in one point. So they asked me, I said, listen, there's one sin, one sin. All sin is going to be judged, but there's one sin that allows that judgment to come. One. Jesus said, this is the condemnation. This is why people will be lost. Light has come into the world. The revelation has come. The realization has come. You say, what about the people that just don't believe because they can't believe? There's no one on this planet who can't believe. It's a choice. The intellectual says, I can't believe junk like that. Yes, he can. There are many intellectuals that have accepted Christ as Savior. The person steeped in voodoo in Haiti that believes, that says that they don't know any different, they can. They do come out of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus lights every man that comes into this world. And to every man, amen, is given the measure of faith. What is that measure of faith for? To get a brand new Mercedes? Is that what that faith is for? No, that faith is for something more important than getting a new car. Amen. It's the faith to believe the gospel. That's why when we went down to Haiti and preached to people that had never heard about Jesus years ago, amen, people came to Christ after years and generations of darkness and voodoo and superstition. They came to Jesus. Why? Because there was enough light in them and enough faith in them to know the truth and to give heed to it. God has given us the capacity to be saved if we choose to be. Hallelujah. He loves us. Light has come, but men love darkness more than light. He that's of the light comes to the light, that his deeds might be manifest that they're wrought in light. But those that are of the darkness, I've had people run out of here, not want to come back. I've had people compliment us by saying, I don't like to go to Brother Venables because I knew I would be convicted. And I thought, so you want to go to a church where there's no conviction, where you can have your sin and never be uncomfortable with it, where the curse can come upon you and no one give you the opportunity to choose the blessing. That's so ridiculous to me. I want to be given the choice. I want someone to plainly delineate the way of righteousness and the way of disobedience. And I want to choose that right way. Will I stumble at it? I'm sure I will have stumbles. But I'd rather stumble along the way of righteousness and struggle that upward grade with God, amen, than I would to run full out the way of disobedience and the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man because there's no obstacles. You can run full out. There's no steep grade with it. No stumbling blocks or stumbling stones, amen. You can run wide open down a thoroughfare that leads to destruction. It seems so right. But the end thereof is the way of destruction. Thank God for God interrupting the rebellion of Jonah to get him back on track so that he wouldn't be blood guilty for all of those people that would have been judged had he not took the message to them. He wasn't wanting to hurt Jonah. That's why he prepared the trial to sustain him, even though Jonah thought he was a goner for sure. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good today? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? How many people in here want to be challenged? You want the way of righteousness to be presented to you so that you can choose. You want the flesh to be put under the spotlight. You don't want it to prevail. You don't want it to hide in darkness. You want everything to be brought to light. You want our attitudes to be subjected to God's correction. Amen. We want our forgiveness to be complete, to be freely given, so that there's nothing the enemy can use in our life. No ground that he can claim, because it is all given over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for all the people in this room that are yielded vessels before you this morning. People that are bowing before you in true humility and, if necessary, true repentance today. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can be given to us without measure as well. That there will be nothing in us that grieves him or quenches him, but allows him to move freely. As it is written, I will live in them and I will move in them. Father, move in us and help us to be part of the reapers of your great harvest fields in the name of Jesus. Let this year be a time of challenge and change in all of our lives. And Father, in our nation, in our world, in the name of Jesus. And for the glory of God. And let this little church become a soul-saving station for Jesus Christ this year. Father, let our families be brought in. I got to tell you one thing as we stand to sing this song. I believe we prayed in here. If you need the Lord and you need our prayer for any special repentance reason, you're welcome during this song to come forward. My grandson, I went on his Facebook site and he said, I don't see anything in black and white. I only see things in gray. And I looked up some of his friends on there, and there's this one person who just is an agnostic, it's just really some crazy stuff. And then I got an email the other day from my grandson, and it said, Papa, I really need to talk with you about something very serious. No matter where I seem to head, I always end up coming back to God. Well, it's getting black and white now. It's not gray anymore. Can you say, man? He's always coming back to God. And he said, I want to talk to you. And I want you to pray for him, because I think what he's feeling is not a call to preach per se, but a call to salvation. He doesn't know what it is. And he wants to talk about it. I said, we're going to have lunch, and we're going to talk about this circling always. Every avenue you go, you always end up coming back to God. And none of his friends have that. And this is something I believe the Lord is doing. I believe this is going to be a year of wonderful breakthroughs like yours, sister. Praise God, where God precedes us into circumstances and operates simply because we are yielded to him. Amen. He can do what he wants in and through us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we're choosing the way of blessing this year. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Amen. Will you stand to your feet?